WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off. The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
Kristen Rupanian has published exactly one story in The New Yorker, but it was a gigantic blockbuster. It was called Cat Person. It's about an online relationship that leads to a date that goes horribly wrong. It landed in the midst of the Me Too movement, and Cat Person didn't just touch a nerve, it grabbed the nerve and pulled. And then Rupanian quickly found herself not only in the midst of controversy, but with a considerable book deal. Rupanian comes from Plymouth, Massachusetts, and if that name rings a bell, and it should, it's where the Pilgrims landed. Generations of tourists and school kids have been visiting Plymouth Plantation, the living history museum where reenactors practice 17th century crafts and they keep livestock and try to dodge obnoxious teenagers from the 21st century, like Kristen Rupanian.
Oh, there's Ethan.
This place was a staple of my childhood, but not necessarily in the same way that it was for people who came in just to go on the tour and learn from the actors. I had friends who, as teenagers, did work here. I would come here on school trips, and I would kind of sneak in is the most dramatic way of putting it, but wander around when I was a teenager. My favorite thing to do when I was a kid, and we would come into the main village and talk to the historical reenactors, was to try and trick them. It was like an endless game, if you grew up in Plymouth, to see if you could get them to say something that would reveal that they were not, in fact, from the 1600s. And we never succeeded. I mean, they have an encyclopedic amount of knowledge, and they will not crack, no matter how hard a 12-year-old tries to get them. So now we're heading down into Plymouth Plantation, into the village, so we're gonna see that and poke around and see if we can trick in any pilgrims into acknowledging they know what an airplane is.
And then we spent about another month or so at Cape Cod, about 5 weeks, trying to figure out where we should...
This is, I guess, important to note. In the village, they play actual characters. So it's the Alden family, the Standish family, the Winslow family, representing the actual people there. When I was probably 10, I participated in... I want to call it the Pilgrim's Progress. I'm not sure if that's exactly right, but it was essentially a parade where I was a small child and I had a historical identity. I was a young boy, and what I knew about myself was that I was a troublemaker who eventually ran away and joined for a brief period the Wampanoags and then came back and was hanged. So that was a vivid, vivid moment for me, and I walked proudly down the streets pretending to be that young man. Let's see, maybe in here it looks like a bunch of people are leaving. I always feel a little shy talking to them.
So if you want to think of it this way, this is a bedchamber.
Hi. So could you tell us a little bit about yourself? What's your name? What are you up to right now?
Oh, right now I'm mostly just, I've come in from the garden, so I'm just resting at the moment, but deciding what to cook.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Do you have kids?
Any goats?
Children.
Yes. Five in total, but only two that are living here right now. I've got two sons and a stepson that are still in England.
Can I ask you a question? Do you know what this is?
Does it belong to you?
Yes.
Oh, then it don't matter to me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sure. So long as you know what it is, okay. then it don't mind me.
Cool. That's all. All right, let's go there. Bye, it was really nice to meet you.
You also.
I showed her a cell phone. So I felt very much like a 12-year-old doing that.
This is like a really peaceful section where you can feed goats.
So now we're walking down a path. There's a very distinct smell to the area around here that I think is a mix of campfire smoke, the animals, manure, and then the ocean is right here too. So yeah, the smell of this air brings back a lot of memories for me. And it's beautiful. Chipmunk just ran adorably across our path.
Wampanoag people drink water and tea daily, every day.
Okay, so this is the Wampanoag home site, and what they do here is they try to convey what it was like for the Wampanoag at the time when the pilgrims arrived and slightly before.
Welcome, you guys have a good
day. There's what looks like a grass dome style house over there, and then a few I would call them lean-tos. They're made out of sticks and looks like dried grass.
So the spit is pine.
So there's two women staff who are weaving something, it looks like weaving a bag, and roasting some fish over a fire. And they're very knowledgeable about all the kind of little details of life in terms of the materials that were used, the food that they used, the process. Do you want to hear what they're saying?
So for these, you can use a dip net, but you had specialized tools for fishing for both the river and the ocean. You had hook, line, and sinker.
They're wearing traditional Wampanoag clothes and shoes, and they're sitting on some skins. That is a vivid sense memory I have too from being a kid and coming here and seeing the skins for the first time and being both fascinated and kind of heartbroken and repelled. My mother bought me a rabbit skin, I think, at one of the stores here, and I loved it because it was so soft, but felt endlessly guilty about it. One thing I remember is that while the pilgrims pretend to be from the time that they're meant to represent, the Wampanoag just talk to you fairly straightforwardly about their lives while at the same time teaching the people who visit some sort of basic things about hunting and gathering and home building and things like that. The older I got, the more complicated I understood that it was. It's not until you leave home, right, that you start thinking about where did the place that I come from shape me, and it occurred to me how funny it was that I had come from a place that is so obsessed with its own history and has such a specific narrative about how this history relates to the history of the country as a whole. I think the goal is to try and give a version of the country's history that is sort of touristic enough that it draws people and that people come and want to have a nice day, but that maybe gives you just enough that you might start picking back at it and asking harder questions. And I feel like in that sense, like, it did work for me in terms of shaping the way that I think about history as stories, right? Like, not everybody thinks about it like that. Like, you might grow up thinking that history is just a set of facts, and I think they do you can't grow up here and sneak into the village and try and trick historical reenactors into telling you the truth without getting that everybody's telling you a story, you know?
Fiction writer Kristen Rupanian at Plymouth Plantation, the living history museum in Plymouth, Massachusetts.
WNYC Studios is supported by the Natural Resources Defense Council. Using science, the law, and people power, NRDC is committed to confronting the climate crisis, protecting public health, and safeguarding nature. They address the impact of fossil fuels on communities and our environment. They help protect wildlife, public lands, and irreplaceable ecosystems that all living things depend on. They work to enact policies for clean air, clean water, and access to nature for all. You can help NRDC safeguard the Earth for future generations. Visit nrdc.org/WNYC for more information.